I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcast.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV Plus.
Welcome to Prognosis. I'm Laura Carlson. It's day 56 since coronavirus was declared a global pandemic. Our main story? The world is watching closely as drug companies race to make a vaccine at warp speed. What does that race actually look like close up? A participant in one of the earliest vaccine clinical trials tells us what he's learning. But first, here's what happened today. President Donald Trump says the U.S. must reopen for business, even if more Americans get sick and die. The president said at an event in Arizona that he knows restarting state economies will cause more illness and death from the pandemic, but insists it's a cost he's willing to pay to get the economy back on track. As governors across the South and Midwest have begun returning people to work, Trump said he's pivoting to phase two of the nation's response to the pandemic. Phase two originally included disbanding the White House Coronavirus Task Force, something the White House said in statements Tuesday it was considering doing. But today, Trump reversed himself, saying the task force will continue indefinitely. In a series of tweets this morning, the president said the task force will continue with a focus on reopening the country, as well as the development of vaccines and therapeutic treatments. Despite Trump's desire to hasten the end of lockdown rules, an analysis by Bloomberg News found that many states are doing so before they're ready, even by Trump's own standards. 20 states that have already lifted restrictions don't meet the guidelines for reopening that were set out by the White House last month. Many are moving ahead with reopening businesses, despite not having declining cases, a declining percentage of positive tests, or hospital systems that can withstand the strain of an outbreak. The UK is likely to start easing its coronavirus lockdown starting Monday, according to Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Johnson promised to announce details this weekend. Johnson said he will set out the next phase of the coronavirus strategy in a public statement on Sunday, because it would be a good thing if people know what to expect before the changes come into operation the next day.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
And now, our main story. Dozens of research teams across the world are racing to deliver a vaccine for the coronavirus. People around the world are closely watching the race because they see a vaccine as the key to allowing the world to return to something like normal. Developing, testing, and bringing a vaccine to market is a process that usually takes years, even decades. But that process is being ramped up to super speed as the virus ravages the globe. Some have promised we may see something as soon as the end of this year. Most medical experts believe that's highly unlikely. But the race is on. A small group of volunteers is already receiving an experimental vaccine. Jason Gale spoke to one of the first to get a dose. He gives us a peek inside the fast-moving world of coronavirus vaccine development.
When the University of Oxford recently sought 500 volunteers to test an experimental coronavirus vaccine, thousands signed up. Another Australian was one of the first two people to roll up their sleeve for the shot.
I'm Dr. Edward O'Neill, a postdoctoral researcher in the Department of Oncology at the University of Oxford. Not a medical doctor, but a scientist, and I'm a trial participant of the COVID-19 vaccine.
Ed is 30. He lives in Oxford, where he's doing postdoctoral research on nuking cancer with radiation. He heard about the COVID-19 vaccine study in an email from the university. He discussed the risks with his wife and decided to give it a go. Turns out he was lucky to get in.
I myself am one of over 5,000 people who wanted to actually join the study. So they actually had to stop enrollment. So it's not from lack of willing volunteers. Everyone wanted to be a part of this.
It was an overwhelming vote of confidence in the experimental vaccine, but also in the track record of Oxford's Jenner Institute. The centre was named after Edward Jenner, a pioneer of immunisation. Think 18th century dairymaids and cowpox. Fast forward 200 years and vaccines have come a long way since Jenner made his inoculation against smallpox.
I was familiar with the Jenner Institute because it was just fascinating to hear about what's going on. We actually get lots of Facebook ads asking us to sign up for other trials as well. It's common for them to actually be investigating other diseases because they haven't been primarily just working on the SARS. The Jenner Institute actually had a number of vaccines it was developing.
These included a vaccine against malaria, but more important, one to fight another coronavirus. It's the one that causes MERS, or Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. That virus made the leap from camels to humans several years ago and has infected about 2,500 people, mostly in the Middle East. It's lethal in about a third of cases, but isn't as easily transmitted between people as the coronavirus that causes COVID-19. Importantly, Oxford's experimental MERS vaccine has already been tested in people. Oxford researchers reported in the Lancet Medical Journal last month that the vaccine was safe, well-tolerated, and that a single dose could elicit a broad protective immune response against the MERS virus. Ed says it swayed his decision to participate in the COVID vaccine study because the two vaccines are very similar.
I didn't think it was going to be any particular risk because I was confident based upon the science that's been based upon a known MERS vaccine that they've already developed and already trialed. And I also thought it'd be a really interesting experience to see the patient perspective on a clinical trial, since at some point in the future, I'm keen to have some of my research progress to a clinical trial. So I wanted to see what that would be like as well.
So what was it like getting the jab?
Being a volunteer means that they firstly have to meet the criteria just by an online questionnaire. And then they bring you in if you meet the criteria that you're eligible for the study. And they want to do a full medical to make sure that you're fit and healthy and also willing to take part, that you can travel to there for regular blood tests after the vaccination. And then they will call you up if you're eligible. I only found out maybe like a week before the actual injection. It involves a lot of care, a lot of paperwork to make sure that they have healthy volunteers first. And then the end goal is to actually then enroll older people. But first we have to figure out if it works in healthy young people to then figure out if older people can also create immunity using the vaccine that will be sufficient to protect them as well. So they're the most vulnerable group. So we're targeting, that would be the end goal.
Ed has no idea whether he was randomly selected to receive the candidate COVID vaccine or a control shot that protects against meningococcal disease. The study will look to see whether COVID was less common in participants who got the experimental shot versus the control.
I mean, there's a 50% chance that I have the coronavirus. I could easily have got the control vaccine, but I feel perfectly fine. But it's more important that, I mean, I'm only one person as well. This trial has expanded to many, many people. And so now they're giving daily temperature checks and daily symptom sort of diary that's uploaded every evening so that the study can know what's happening with all the patients. The sad fact is that there's an outbreak that's quite prevalent in the UK. And I think that unfortunately it's going to be statistically likely that, and that's what they're counting on, that members of the study will get infected. And hopefully it'll be the control group that actually have symptoms versus the candidate group.
Ed says gauging the effect means a lot of blood tests.
So they are very interested in a scientific analysis of the vaccine. They don't just give you a shot and then send you off in the world. They want to follow how your body's responding to it.
If all goes as planned, researchers running the trial say they'll have preliminary data to tell if it works by September. Regardless, production's ramping up on the assumption that it will work, so they'll have enough vaccine to use in a larger clinical study. At least a half a dozen vaccine candidates have entered human studies, including an experimental shot being developed by the National Institutes of Health and Massachusetts-based Moderna. That trial started in March. Vaccine research is being accelerated, but Ed says he sees no corners being cut.
I have a fear that people might be concerned about the vaccine, that it's maybe been rushed. We know that there was one vaccine that was already injected in America, but I know that this one has been as cautious and as quick as it possibly could. In the Oxford study, had to do the animal trials, non-human primates before. That was their design, to be as cautious as possible, but as fast as possible. So they had a head start.
Ed says he likes being part of the race to produce a safe and effective vaccine against the coronavirus.
I think a vaccine is the safest way to develop a herd immunity response that we can therefore protect our friends and family and the people in the street we don't even know. What we've found with this coronavirus in particular, compared to the MERS and the first SARS outbreak, is that it was they were very intense diseases, but this one has a lot of unsymptomatic carriers. It doesn't mean that it's not a nasty disease. It has terrible side effects and terrible effects that we're still learning about the long-term effects. So I think a vaccine is the safest way to have herd immunity that we can then introduce to the population.
It's a goal that dozens of research teams across the world are pursuing. While each is vying to be first, they're also competing with a fast-spreading pandemic that each and every one of us has a stake in ending. Researchers say that solidarity is driving a global effort that's resulting in an unprecedented spirit of collaboration.
That was Bloomberg's Jason Gale. And that's our show today. For coverage of the outbreak from 120 bureaus around the world, visit Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. And if you like the show, please leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's the best way to help more listeners find our global reporting. The Prognosis Daily Edition is hosted by me, Laura Carlson. The show is produced by me, Topher Forges, Jordan Gaspure, and Magnus Henriksen. Today's main story was reported by Jason Gale. Original music by Leo Sidran. Our editors are Francesca Levy and Rick Schein. Francesca Levy is Bloomberg's head of podcasts. Thanks for listening.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.